Well, hey, everybody, it's Maylee Thomas, and time for another episode of Texas Homegrown Music. And today's guest is April N. Smith. And we've been playing April's music for a while now, but today we get to know her on a personal level, and I'm really excited about introducing her to my listening audience. But before we do, I want to sing a song for you off of my Revelations record. It's called I Am, and I think you probably know it's not about me, but it's about the great I Am. So we'll be right back after I Am with April N. Smith. Texas Homegrown Music, and today's guest is April N. Smith, and I have to put the N in there because when I looked for music, I found out there's some other April Smiths.
Yeah, it's actually very important to put that in there because I get mixed up with the lady from Brooklyn, New York all the time. So,
do
yeah.
you?
Yeah,
so it's April N. Smith. But you know, while we're on the subject, so I noticed that you have another name as well that you used to go by. Is that right? Driggers or...
That was my married last name whenever I was married.
Okay.
And so I still go by that for my regular job, for my teaching job.
Okay.
It was confusing for the kids in the classroom, but no, my maiden name was Smith and I went back to that for singing.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, good for you. I can totally relate to that. I just added mine. I was always Maylee Thomas. And now my husband, now that he's the mayor, people know me as Maylee Fuller a lot of times, and I don't even hardly answer to it because I'm
right.
so used to hearing Maylee Thomas.
Right.
My husband will tell you the only time I use it is when I'm at the bank.
Yeah, that'd be a good time too, for sure.
So, April, what a fantastic voice you have. And reading about you, like so many of us, you started out singing in church.
Yes.
I guess because, you know, our era, and I think it's still that way now, too. It's such a great place to really hone your craft when you're mm-hmm. singing.
Absolutely.
I think you actually, your first recordings were Christian music, correct?
Yes. In 2005, my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he was very big in church, and he was a Gideon and just all kinds of things. And he said, you know, before I die, would you please make me a gospel album? And he said, I'll fund it. I'll pay for it. It doesn't matter, but would you please do that? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so that was why that album was created, was for him. And so there's lots of special memories and lots of his favorites. And then a song that I wrote for him that's on there called What I've Learned. And then another song that I pinned on there, Where I Am, which is the title track of the album. But yeah, that was my first actual studio produced album. So,
well, you know, I'm sorry that it had to be predicated on something so sad,
right.
But what a beautiful thing for you to do for him like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
And you've got music that lives on and you've got a special place and purpose behind it.
Oh, yeah. And we've talked about repackaging it and actually titling it Inspirations and sell it, you know, continuing
you
to sell it.
You should, because I was looking for it and I didn't find it on any of the outlets. So you really should
right.
do that, April.
Right. That's something that we're planning to do in the future.
Oh, so. Good for you. Well, so how have you been doing with all of this?
It's been a crazy adjustment. I mean, it's been hard because here I am just trying to start a music career. And then there's so many roadblocks, you know, in general. It doesn't really matter when you start it. But then with all this COVID, there's been a ton more things to overcome. So it's been very difficult, but like we were talking about making, you know, lemonade out of lemons, you have to do what you can do. And so we've just been pushing forward and continuing to write and continuing to promote and, but not to say that I'm not star crazy. But my, like I said, my regular job is a teacher. And so it's been crazy being off for the last 4 months, but somewhere in there, I found the blessing that I'm able to focus a lot more on my music right now because
right.
I'm not having to go to work every day. I still had to distance teaching and things like that. And then now during the summer, I am private tutoring my students
okay.
that I had in the year to try to get them caught up so that they're not so behind for next year. So
what,
I do
what
work.
What grade are you?
Third what? Grade.
Oh, good. Oh, that's a fun age, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's what I say. They're my favorite because they can already tie their shoes and wipe their nose, but they're still pleasers. They want you to be happy.
Exactly.
With them.
I was just going to say that very thing. They're still in that place of wanting to please. And
mm-hmm.
I remember that age so, so well with my kids. And
mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite ones. So, well, good for you. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you are. I know that right now all the teachers are still sitting there waiting to hear what, you know, what is it that they're going to be doing? Where do you teach? Where in Texas?
I teach in Northeast Texas at Mount Pleasant ISD, at one of the elementary campuses there. And they haven't given us specifics. All they've told us is that we will be starting school at regular time. And we'll just have some smaller classroom sizes. But as far as any of the specifics, we're still waiting for all that to come down from the state. But our plan is to go ahead.
Well, I have a whole lot of Just kudos to all you teachers out there, because, you know, as a mom, I can't even imagine. I'm so glad my kids are grown. Mm-hmm. I've got one in college, and she's actually in art school, and you can imagine how tough it is to do art school online.
Oh, absolutely.
But she is, yeah. And she's struggling with it. She doesn't like it at all. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine having my kids still at home and dealing with all of this uncertainty with them. And wow. It was hard enough for me to get them to do their homework, but to do their daily work every day. Oh,
gosh. Yeah. Well, and I do have three girls, and I have one at college and then one that just graduated that's leaving for college. And then I have a 15-year-old at home. And we've, even though she's 15, we've still struggled with, do we send her back? Do we keep her home? You know, what's the best? So it's right. A tough go around for everybody right now.
It really is. Well, I just have a lot of respect for people that teach. So let me just say that to you. Thank you so much for doing that and answering the call for being a teacher. But let's get to your music. I was just real impressed with your voice, and you know, I've been playing your stuff on my show, and I was really looking forward to having you on here and just learning more about you and your inspiration behind what you do and why you do it. Clearly, you've been singing since you were a little girl. Mm-hmm. And and always had, you know, like I said, started in church and then did that record for your dad. And then I guess you had a family friend that got behind you or somebody and inspired you to really do something in the country music field. So tell me about that.
Well, I took a break to raise my kids. I actually took about 12 years that I didn't do anything with music because I was wanting to be at home. They didn't understand why I wasn't there. And so I didn't want to miss anything. And so I took a break to raise my kids. And then, in 2014, when my dad passed away, I just couldn't really get over being sad. I just was sad, you know, and I thought, oh, well, it's, you know, this is the way it's going to be. And, I just cried every single day, and I never could figure out what's missing, what's going on, you know, and my husband and I had been having, you know, trouble and things like that. But I just thought, I just thought it was sad because my dad died. And then in 2016, somebody asked me to fill in at a festival for a 30-minute spot. And I was like, okay, I can do 30 minutes. I'll go do that. So I did. And when I came off the stage, a guy that I didn't know walked around the stage and he said, I don't know who you are or where you've been, but if you're not singing music every day, then you're doing the wrong thing. That's what you need to be doing. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And he said, I want you to come audition for my band. And before I even thought about it, I said, okay, you know, and I went and auditioned and started singing. And that's the day I stopped crying. The day I got back on the stage and started singing again, it was like music and lyrics filled the void in my life that was missing, that only that could fill, you know, it couldn't take it. The sadness wasn't going to be taken away by anything else. And it was kind of my outlet of where I could release all that pain and all the feelings and emotions that I had. And it was a connection that my dad and I had, you know, cause he was always right. A supporter of my music. So that's how I got back involved. But yeah, my manager, Randy Klein with Klein X Entertainment. He is a friend of a friend, and we got introduced to each other back in 2005. He's the one who helped me get the album done for my dad. He met me then, and we just kind of worked together off and on. And then whenever I decided to get serious, he approached me in 2016 and he said, you know, you've been singing now back on stage for 2 years. It seems like you're ready to get going. Are you sure? And I told him, I said, yeah, I think I'm ready to be serious this time. And so that's when we got serious and started working.
Well, you know, you said earlier that you were singing and then you decided you wanted to raise your kids. And that's another thing that I admire you for, because as a singer myself, I kind of had to make a decision at one point what I was going to do. You know, I was kind of getting pulled in a couple directions. People telling me you need to move to Nashville, you need to go on the road. And I just didn't want somebody else raising my kids,
right.
You know, especially with the, you know, the upbringing that I had and the disconnect that I had in family. I really wanted to be able to give my kids what I knew they were searching for. All of them are searching for,
absolutely.
You know, that affirmation and that constant connection, knowing that somebody cares about them and is there for them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I admire you for that, but it sounds to me like you always had this purpose, this purpose in music. And it makes sense to me that you were sad because you didn't
you know, you weren't doing that. You weren't fulfilling what you were created to do. Someone that has a voice like you do and the talent that you do. I understand when people hone in on a craft and they get lessons and they, you know, can tweak it here and there. Mm-hmm. But when I hear your voice, this is a gift that you were given.
That's one thing I get a lot. I get a lot of people say, well, where did you take your voice lessons at? Or where did you, you know, do this? And I'm like, I've never had a voice lesson in my life. I went to college on a music scholarship, but I was only there for 3 months. And then I ended up coming home and getting married. And, I never was in any vocal coaching class while I was there. And so everything that I have is, you know, I do attribute that completely to God, because that was his creation. And I just try to do the best that I can with what I was given. And so, yeah, it is definitely a purpose that I think that I was called to do. So.
And when did you start playing guitar?
I don't, actually.
Okay.
I don't play any instrument. I say my instrument is my voice.
Okay.
So I wish I did. I tried. I took guitar lessons whenever I was probably 12 or 13 years old, right after my parents divorced. My dad got me a guitar and I was going to take guitar lessons. And I took like 3 or 4 lessons and the guitar teacher looked at me and said, honey, just stop. Your hands don't move that way. I have worked and worked and worked trying to get you to hold a position on a guitar and you can't, and that's okay. And so they told me to give up at that point. And I did, because I was 13 and I didn't realize the importance of what it was going to be later in my life.
Yeah. But it's never too late, you know, coming from somebody that owns a guitar store. I can tell you, we've got a lot of adults that come in there and say, I'm doing it this time. You know?
I know. And that's what I've said. I'm going to cut my fingernails off and I'm just going to get serious about it. But I haven't yet. So, but I did take piano lessons for, I think, 8 years. I just did it because my mom wanted me to, and I never really learned anything.
How many kids did that?
Yeah, I didn't really think that was ever going to be anything. But whenever I went into the studio last summer, I guess it was about this time last year, I was in the studio recording. And the cool thing about the studio that I record at, it belongs to a friend of mine in Dripping Springs, and he has an apartment in the studio. And so he just lets me stay there. So I actually sleep inside the studio. And I was laying there in bed one night and I was looking at that grand piano and I was thinking, I wonder if I remember any of
anything?
That. And so I got up and I went and sat down, and it was like 2:30 in the morning, I guess. I called my mom at 2:30 in the morning and she was not happy about that. But I called her and I was like, listen to this. You got to hear this. She was like, what? And I played the only piece that I ever memorized. I played that piece complete from front to back.
Oh,
my memory. And so it's amazing how that, you know, stayed with
that muscle memory came back. You sat down at the piano.
It did. Yeah.
Well,
I can read music, but I just am not coordinated to play.
Well, that's okay. You've got a voice, girl, and that's all that matters. And speaking of your voice, we're going to play a song right now called 4 Shots. It's the single that you have out there right now, and it's a really cool country song. It's an upbeat song. It'll make you move. So, you guys, if you just tuned in, I've got April N. Smith in the studio today. She's a fantastic country singer. She's got a song called 4 Shots that we're going to play for you. And we're going to come back and we're going to hear some more about April and her journey through this music life. And you're listening to Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas, and we'll be right back.
Shots are high.
Okay, we're back with April N. Smith, and I want to make sure I put that in there so people know when you look for her music. She's the Texas girl. She is not from New York.
No, right? Absolutely not. No, no, no Brooklyn.
As you start talking, there's no doubt.
Exactly. You know who I am.
So, April, well, first of all, you've got three girls. So I think you said you have one in college, one that just graduated, and one that's 15.
Yes, I have one at College Station. She's in vet tech school. And then I have one that is going to University of Texas at Arlington. So we have a little bit of a battle between
Aggie. Oh, I can hear the schools.
And then I have a 15-year-old at home. All girls.
Okay.
So
Oh my gosh. A lot of estrogen in that house, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We all survived, but I'm not really sure how.
Well, it sounds like you've got a pretty good little brood over there. Are any of your daughters musical or aspire to be musical?
I have one that sings really, really well, but she just isn't interested. She may, and I try not to push her. You know, I think it needs to be something that she wants, not that I want, but she definitely has a voice and could do something with it if she chooses to pursue it. And I just try to let her do what she wants, and eventually it may turn into something. But they all were in band and played instruments and things like that. But only one that really has a voice that she could really do something with.
So, tell me about your journey, April, and what music has been for you, and how how it's helped you survive your life. Because I know that for me, music was always the go-to. And you already shared with us in our earlier segment that you were in a really low place after your dad's death, and you didn't know what it was, and you knew immediately when you started singing again that you weren't in those depths. What it did for you. Tell me about how music has done that for you and what it was like to go through your journey like that.
Well, like I said, I started whenever I was little singing. It's always been a part of my life. And everybody just assumed I'd be in Nashville and I would make music. And life didn't quite take me that way. But I'm
thankful. Did you get married young?
I did. Whenever I was 18, like I said, I went to school on a music scholarship, was there for 3 months, found out that I was pregnant. And I was raised in the South, unfortunately, and it was, you're going to get married and you're going to have this baby and you're going to be a mama and school is over and your dreams just went down the toilet. That's basically the way that it was. And so, which I wouldn't take anything from my daughter,
I hear you. I know. I hear you. But sadly, we've been forced into relationships a lot of times that weren't really the right thing.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we had planned to get married. We were engaged and that was the plan. And I was just going to finish school first, but that's not the way that it went. And, so whenever I went through that, music was kind of my buffer, I could still dive into that and lose myself in music, but, I didn't perform. My, husband at the time, he was, not a big fan of me being gone, not a big fan of me performing on stage. And it just took too much of my time and he wasn't about that. And so that was kind of how I got through, raising my kids was I would sing to them and I would try to write here and there. I wasn't as successful with that, but, that's how I got through a lot of times in my life. And then, like I said, my dad asked me to do the gospel album. And I did think about being in the gospel realm for a little while. But it didn't pan out, 'cause that's not really where my passion was necessarily. Not that I'm, not into church, and not that I, am not a Christian or don't love God. It's just, that's not what I felt like I was called to do. And I feel like that has to be, you have to be in that calling. You can't fake that, I'm not going to do that. And so, whenever I went back to the stage and started trying to get serious, my husband said, it's me or music. You can't have both. And,
Well, I'm sorry to hear that because as a lot of it takes a special person, honestly. And I do get that. Mm-hmm. I was smart enough to, marry a guy in my band. So
that would be fortunate, but yeah,
you know. But I did the same thing you did. I got married really young the first time, and I was married for about 7 years, and it was, you know, I was 20, you were 18. No matter what the circumstances are, you're so young, and not to say it doesn't work out, because there are people that get married very young and they make a success of it. Mm-hmm. But for me, I grew up so much in that next decade, I kind of outgrew the whole situation. You know, you, on the other hand, you're still so young and you've raised your kids. You've got your girls, you've got your 15-year-old at home, but you're still so young, kiddo. You've got a whole life ahead of you. Go for it. I mean, you know.
Well, and in the music business, being 40 doesn't mean anything as much as it did. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It used to. If you didn't do something by the time you're 25, then you didn't have a future. And the music scene has changed so much to where it's not as, you know, set on age necessarily. You can still be a great success, and I've said all along, you know, as long as I can make music and if I can change one person's life and touch one person with it, then that's success in my book.
So you're already successful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I tell people that all the time because, you know, we talk about this a lot on the show, that whole making it thing. And, you know, when I make it, and I always ask them the same thing. I say, well, are you playing music? Are people coming to see you? Are you up there enjoying yourself? Well, you've made it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you've made it. And then the cool thing about today and the world today is that you can get your music out in so many different ways. It used mm-hmm. to be all the only thing you could do was perform in, mm-hmm. you know, in public. But now, as you know, with social media and with everything that we've got at our fingertips, we can get our music out in so many different avenues. But there's nothing that replaces having the energy of the room and having the people there and responding and you being able to respond to them. And I'm looking forward to getting back to that place, but
yes, definitely.
But for now, you know, we are able to do some smaller events and, you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot of different, festivals that are going on to, TMR, our station, KHYI is having a drive-in festival where people will pull in their cars and, you know, we're just going to try to do what we can to still be able to see some of our favorite artists. And then there's still people that are out playing and social distancing in rooms and we can get through this.
Oh yeah.
And we can still have music because we've got to have music. Music is,
yeah, music's, you know, what's going to get us through, you know.
Such a huge inspiration mm-hmm. For us. And speaking of inspiration, we're going to play the song Enough. I want to hear about what was the premise behind that.
I wrote Enough on the heels of my divorce. Whenever I left my husband, like I said, he kind of gave me an ultimatum. It was him or music. And so that was the reason
just
that we...
So sad to me.
I know.
It's not like I've never heard that. I mean, I've had a band, you know, I've been playing music my husband and I have been playing in bands together for almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And in that time, of course, we've had a lot of different players. Mm-hmm. And as you know, when you are with band members, you know, girls will swoon over the guitar player or whatever, and then they start dating them and then they get married and then they say, "Ooh, I don't really want you to play music." Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make any sense. It's like you met them doing that.
Right. Exactly.
That's what brings them joy. Why would you want to take that away from it? And then they don't understand why their relationship is on the rocks.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's kind of the way that happened. I came out of my divorce and I wanted to write a song because for 19 and a half years, I had been his wife and I had been my girl's mama and I had been Miss Driggers at school. And I felt like I didn't have an identity and I had lost myself and I felt like I needed to find my voice. And, so I wrote the song Enough basically as a war cry of, you know, I have to remember that even though he didn't think I was enough for him, I'm enough for myself. And that's okay. It's okay to choose happiness. It's okay to say, you know, I have things that I need in my life too. And I can't always please everybody. So it was basically written because I wanted to write something that was empowering to women for those people who have forgotten their voice and who have lost themselves like I have, be that in, and I don't really like to box it into an abusive relationship, because that song speaks to, on so many levels, to so many different people.
Absolutely.
And so I don't want to say, oh, well, it's a song just about domestic violence, or, oh, it's just a song about, you know, somebody who has, you know, an alcoholic husband. It's not, it's a, the storyline that I chose to tell it, but it speaks on so many different levels to so many women. And I would never want anybody to think it has to be driven to that certain cause. If it touches that person, that's great. You know, but as women, we tend to lose ourselves in our, what we think is our role as a mother or as a wife. And we forget that we are still an individual, and it's okay to be enough for that. And so I'm thankful that every time I perform the song, I can look out in the audience and I'm going to see at least three or four women wiping their face. They're wiping tears from their face, and they'll come up to me afterwards and they'll say, that's my life. You don't understand. You just wrote a song about my life. But every single time that they do, it's always a different story of how it touched them and what was going on in their life. And so to me, that's success. Like I said, I've given them some affirmation of you're not alone. And there's other women that go through this. And so that's why I don't really like to box it in as one particular, you know, it was written for this purpose. It was really just written because I think that women need to remember that they have a voice and they have a purpose, and to empower them to remember that about themselves and to not get lost in that, that role that they think they play, whatever that role may be. If they're in a domestic violence situation, you're enough to leave. It's okay. It's okay to stand up for yourself. If you're just, you know, in a job that you feel selfless in, it's okay to say, you know what, I don't have to do this anymore. Even as a mother, it's okay for you to say, I can be a mother, a great mom, and still have my own thoughts and my own activities and things that I want to be. And that's okay. It's okay for me to choose myself. And you don't have to understand that, because I deal with that a lot. People are like, I don't understand how you could walk away from your family and go to music. And I'm like, but see, I didn't walk away from my family. I walked away from a relationship that was already not working for a lot of reasons. But I didn't walk away from my kids. I didn't walk away from my mom and my dad or things. So I didn't walk away from my family. I just chose to be happy. And I chose to do what I felt like God put me on this earth to do. And he couldn't see that. And there came a point in time where I just had to say, okay, I can't be enough for you. I don't think I could ever be, because I've tried to be everything in the world.
Yep. So, well, I think it's fantastic. So we're going to play this song Enough and with April Lynn Smith. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a song that's going to be released pretty soon, right?
Hopefully so.
You're going to do it with the accompaniment of just a piano, but yes. It's called Lone Star, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll be back and talk about that. But before we go, let me tell you, it's April N. Smith. And if you're not familiar with her music, please go online, download that. We're playing two of her songs on the show today. She's going to be releasing a whole record later on, but we'll talk about that. But April N. Smith and this song called Enough. It's a beautiful, inspiring story for all you women out there that need to know that you are enough. So we'll be right back with Texas Homegrown Music. with April Lynn Smith, and she's going to do a song for us accompanied by, who's your piano player on this song?
His name's Erskine Hawkins, and he's a guy that lives over in Arlington, but Erskine is no stranger to the music business. He is the musical director for the show The Masked Singer.
Okay.
He does their musical arrangements. He has worked for Rihanna, Babyface, Tim McGraw, and Faith Hill. He's been out on the road with all kinds of people. He does arranging for me out of his house. And when he is in town and can sit in, then he does. And but he gets everybody together and gets him in the right direction for me. But he and I have written, in fact, the song we're going to play in a minute. We wrote Lone Star together. And
oh, cool.
He's the person that put the music with Lone Star when we started. And we did that in his studio right there in Garland. And but he plays with me when he's in town. And, you know, he always tells me there's the Don clause. If Don Henley calls and there's something, then I go. And I told him, I completely understand that. Absolutely. Like, I mean, who am I? You know,
you're phenomenal singers who you are. And you've surrounded yourself with, clearly other people see the talent as well, because you've surrounded yourself with some fantastic players. So I've really enjoyed getting to know you, April. And I just wish you so much success and love and life and peace and joy, because, you know, you scrambled for this and you did it and you finally took this step. And I want you to be successful. And like I said, you already are, because if you're singing and playing to people now, that you've made it. That's really the bottom line, right?
Yes.
But I do understand, you know, being able to make a living at it. So I want to keep you, I want to keep you doing what you love to do. So I want to get the word out. So all you people out there, please get out there and buy some of her music when you hear about her plan. So you've got, I'm certain, your Facebook is under your name. Is it April N. Smith? It's April N. Smith Music?
It's April N. Smith Music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I keep that very up to date on where I'm going to be and playing and things like that. So it's normally up to date. You can find where I'm going to be on that. On Instagram, it's at April N. Smith Music as well. So either place you can keep up with
what
I'm
doing. What does the N stand for?
Nicole.
Nicole. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Well, what a pleasure. And you guys are in for a treat. So we're going to have her do a version of Lone Star right now, accompanied by Erskine Hawkins. And thank you so much for being with us. And I hope to see you out sometime live soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
You and I were so young, playing house in that big old world. We never answered to no one. I always thought I'd be your girl. Tonight I hope you're somewhere staring at the sky and wishing on that shooting star.
See you.
Well, that was a really nice time that I just had with April, and I know if you're like me, you can appreciate anybody that can teach our children like she does. And third graders, oh, they're so precious. I just loved that grade. Not that I taught it, but I just remember my kids being that age, and they still want to please you and make you happy. And that's always fun, isn't it, as a parent, to have a child that wants to please you? Because Lord knows when they become teenagers, that's certainly not the case. But I sure do love this opportunity to bring Texas artists to you guys. And I hope that you'll continue to support us every week as we bring you new artists from Texas, some old, some new, and some just up and coming. I know that for me, because I've been playing music for so long, a lot of times I don't get to know these artists, you know, one-on-one. But it's been a great opportunity for me to share all this great music with you. So I hope you'll come back with us next week and listen in as we have Dave Grissom. And my goodness, David Grissom, he has got a discography that's crazy. He's played with the Dixie Chicks and Joe Ely and John Cougar Mellencamp. And of course, I think I told you Storyville earlier, the Thunderbirds, the Allman Brothers Band. It's just crazy. But he's also just released a live record. We'll be talking about that all next week. So you guys be sure to tune in on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Or you can listen to our podcast and go back and go archive some of these artists that we've had in the past. Because I'm telling you, some of them have some really inspirational stories. And if you know somebody out there that you'd like to hear on the show that's a Texas artist or they identify with Texas music, please shoot me an email at maylee@texashomegrownmusic.com and we'll try to have them on the show. But until then, thank you guys for listening. Peace out. Remember to love life. You get out of it what you put into it. And we'll see you next week. Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas. Thank you to our sponsors, the Guitar Sanctuary and Tupps Brewery. And don't forget, we have a beautiful series of concerts, drive-in style. So you guys be sure to check that out at TuppsBrewery.com. And we'll see you soon.